Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
What I want you to do is grab your Bibles with me, and I want you to open them up to the book of Psalms. Now, let me ask you, maybe some of you already know this, but what's our church name called?
Ascent.
And so we're going to look at one of the Psalms of Ascent this morning. And there are many of them, but go over to Psalms chapter 133, and we're going to look at that and a few other things as well this morning. But let me just begin with prayer. So Lord, I thank you again for all that you're doing. Here am I, send me. God, I pray that my words would be your words, and Lord, that there will be fullness of your presence in this room today, that we may learn from you and all that you want to give us, Lord, in your name. Amen. 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 Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this psalm first, and then we're going to dive into a few things here today. Okay, so let's go. Psalm chapter 133. You can see it's absolutely massively huge. No, it's got three verses to it, so we should be able to read this multiple times during the day, and it's not going to be difficult. So let's just see what this says. Behold. Everybody say, behold.
Behold.
You know, do it like his kid children's ministry right now. Behold. I heard Pastor Jay trying to do a Scottish accent this morning and before worship and whatnot. I love his accents because he can do seven accents in one syllable. It is absolutely the most fantastic thing you've seen. You know, it just depends on who's standing there, right? You know, in those moments. But behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Then verse 2 says, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there, everybody say there. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now, many of you have heard that scripture, but you've heard it maybe without verse 2 and verse portion of verse 3. Many of us would have heard just the fact of, for brethren to dwell together in unity, is good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Or we would say, what is the commanded blessing? And we would talk about unity. But there are those two verses in the middle of there that are so rich. And so what I want to talk to you a little bit today is not just about unity. We're going to talk about unity within it, but I want to talk to you about blessing and walking in blessing today. There is a powerful understanding, if you can grab a hold of the fact, that even in within the Jewish culture, when they greet one another, they greet one another with a blessing. It is an absolute, it's not something that is just whatever, let's just try it out and see. It's something where they greet each other with a blessing. There is such a mentality and an understanding of the value and of the importance of living in blessing. Now, when I say blessing, most of us think of what? You think of finances, right? That's what we're oftentimes thinking. If I was to say, I am blessed to be a, come on, say it with me now, speak with me. I am blessed to be a blessing, right? So those are often the ways in which, but blessing and walking in the blessing of God and having the blessing of God is so much different than just talking about finances. Then we're going to get into what I think a really great definition of that is this morning. But what we're going to do is before I digest or before we go through that verse 2 and verse 3, because truthfully, if you just read that like it is, I mean, can you imagine being in Sunday school with me or being with the kids and I start reading, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron. And it says running down on the edge of the garments. It's like the dew of Hermon. I don't know who Hermon would be that they would say, but descending upon the mountains of Zion. It is there in actual, say, normal language, we would all go, huh? What? And we'd have to go get our commentaries and look it up and see what is going on. But there is so much value that I want to get to in a minute with that. But the first thing I want to do is I want to show you and I want to talk to you about this kind of amazing passage of scripture. It's found in Genesis chapter 32. So grab your Bibles, hold that one place there. We're going to come back to it. But go over with me to Genesis chapter 32, and it's verse 22. Many of you know this story, but whenever we're talking about, and please help me with this and walk with this with me, that when you hear me talk about a story, you know, that maybe you've heard 100 times or maybe even been 1,000 times, we have to refrain from the fact of shutting off our brains and going, yeah, I know that story. But this is the story of Jacob wrestling with God. Now, here, what I want you to do is it's so very important we grasp this. I think in this next season, and I often say this, and I'm going, Lord, why do I have to say this all the time like this? But I believe that there is, okay, for those of you that are new, I am a little strange, but I'm not weird. All of you are like, yeah, you don't know him yet, okay? But listen to me. We are at a door right now that God is about to open up. And there is on the other side of this door what I have been hungering for a long, long time. A long time. In fact, let me say it this way to you. Look at me just for a second. I almost thought it was gone. I had almost given up hope. Because I am, and you say, well, what do you mean, Pastor Rod? What are you talking about, Pastor Rod? I believe that we stand and we have a choice. We have a choice to go through. And you know that this, on the other side of this door, what I'm talking about is I'm not talking about everything being perfect. Wouldn't that be nice? Let's just open up a door and not have to fight for a little while. Come on, anybody else with me? That would be just nice. But I'm not going to promise you that. That on the other side of this door, though, is this sense of walking through that God is doing things and we're going with him as he does things. Please grab a hold of that. If you're looking at me like, what are you talking about? Let me explain again. Have you ever felt like you were having to fight to get God to do something? Come on, some of you are looking at me like I got 7 heads, okay? What I'm talking about is the fact that you were warring for something, right? That every time you turn around, you were like, this war for this, war for that, war for this. We call it spiritual warfare. And sometimes we get into the point where our expectation is that everything's going to be warfare. And everything is going to be difficult. And everything is going to be hard. And when I do this, it's going to be difficult. So just get ready. Here's the problem with that. We then have a mindset, or what we would call in the sense of inner healing ministries, we have created an ungodly belief, a UGB. We have created an ungodly belief that every time God does something new, that I have to go through something hard. That's right. Now, hear me now. I didn't say that we have to stop fighting, but we have to understand where our fight is and how we fight. If we fight from fear, we're in a whole lot of trouble. Come on, hear me now in this. I have spent the last few years fighting in the spirit and believing for God to begin to do some things. And when I look at this, the Lord has been oftentimes telling me this. And you have to understand, I don't feel destroyed by this, if you understand. I don't feel God's mad at me. Please get that out of your head. But I have had the tap of the Holy Spirit on my shoulder very often saying, you're warring from fear and not from faith. And it was like, there wasn't a sense of, you know better, don't do that. It was, Rod, just shift just a little. Come on, shift just a little. You're doing that because of all the garbage that you've gone through the last little while. You're doing that because you feel worn out. You're doing that because you've lost some trust. Now, maybe I'm the only one. I'm just preaching to myself in the midst of this. You've had a sense that when you hear songs being played, you have a hard time singing them. Come on now. Let's just be real in this. But an ungodly belief gets developed when we don't deal with lies. And when we don't deal with the lies that we have begun to believe. And process, hear my heart. Do you know that everybody doesn't process at the same time the same way? Come on, look at me. This is really, really important. And if we feel like we've got the answer when someone else is going through a process, we can cause them to move away from the process because of shame and guilt, okay? Because they're processing differently than you do. When we walk up to someone, and when I, you know, the hardest thing for me sometimes is if these words come out of my mouth and I'm talking to someone, I say, I'm struggling a little, Pashakarabasa, and they start praying over me, and it's like, come on, Pastor Rod, that you don't have to do that. You are more than a conqueror. I know. Come on, just be honest with it, right? I know, and I know I'm shifted a little bit, but here's a better way to do that. I'm going to stand with you, Pastor Rod, as you begin to explore what God has ahead. You see the difference? Because the one says, I know better and let me show you how. And the other one says, how can I help you find your answer? Come on, grab the difference in this as we walk together with one another. Because what we're talking about, that verse, that Psalm 33, 133 is talking about unity. And it's talking about wanting to get to be together. Unity, let's say it with me. Unity is not uniformity. Come on, say it. Ready? Unity is not uniformity. It is not about all of us believing the same thing. It's not about all of us even having the sense of the way we deal with everything the same. We don't get up here and tell you, do A, B, C, D, and everything will be fine. Just do A, B. Oh, you didn't do B. Look at you. It's not an A, B, C. It is even what the song was talking about. It is Jesus. And it is this encounter we have. But I don't know about you, but I've been feeling, and again, you go, Pastor Rod, have somebody, I've had them, I have emails I could show you. Pastor Rod, you got to not worry about what your feelings say. I get it. But you know what feelings are? You know what feelings are? They're a representation of what my soul is saying. And if I ignore them, my soul's going to take over and tell my spirit to have a seat. And I cannot ignore my feelings. I will not let them run me. I will not let them run over me. But it is not helpful to tell people to ignore how you feel. It's not. It doesn't do any good for them. And in that moment, now, it is that sense of, here's the other thing. Someone who doesn't walk in relationship with me and doesn't know me at all. And they come up to me, and I am not trying to vent this morning. This is not in my notes. Forgive me if this sounds like I'm venting, okay? Shakarada. Okay, sorry. Okay, so listen. If somebody comes up to me, though, and they don't know me, they're not walking in relationship with me, and they feel like they know exactly what I need. Oh, hallelujah. I've had to sit there and go so many times, Lord, I thank you that that person's in my life. I don't really mean it, but I'll get there, Lord. I thank you, and I have to get there to that moment because we don't know, and we assume. We have these cookie-cutty answers for everything, and we don't know what that person's battle is like today. We don't know the hell that they have been through. Now, if I just offended you, we'll get to it. But listen, you don't know. I don't know. And the worst thing we can do is assume that everything is a cookie cutter answer. But listen, there is something that always works and always applies. And it is the word of God. And it's something, though, where each individual, as we know, that we begin to walk in this newness of life and we begin to walk through. But here's my message today. You can't live without blessing. You can't live without blessing. I want you to look at this passage of scripture, which absolutely freaks me out because apparently Jacob wrestled with God and he was winning. Think about it just for a second. He's wrestling with God and he's winning. Now you say, it says a man. If you have the King James Version, it's a little helpful because you can see that there's a capitalization on the M. But also if you look down through, that at the end, Jacob's talking about the fact that I basically wrestled with God. And I saw God face to face, he says, and I'm still alive. It's amazing. But in that moment, this is what we call, just give you a little teaching here right now, is it's called a theophany, okay? In other words, Jesus, again, as I said, I love teaching the kids this stuff. Jesus shows up before he came as a baby. This is who this is. This is the Christ. And he comes in this moment. And so I'm sitting there reading this. And this week has been, Lord, only let me touch two scriptures, this one and the Psalms one. And I'm looking at this other one. I'm going, God, I can come up with a whole lot of these little pat answers and whatnot. But in this moment, what was going on? How in the world did Jacob recognize that this was God? Because he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, let me ask you something. You got to look. And if you see this passage, if you look at Genesis 32, you'll see. Well, let me just get over to it right now. You'll see that he is not talking about money. They want me to prove it to you? Watch this. Okay, go over to chapter 32. Look at verse 13. So what's happened right now is Jacob's freaking out because he knows he's got to go talk to Esau. Everybody remember what he did to Esau? Woo! We're talking about a hot temper now, okay, in this, because this is a bad situation here, and he is worried about the fact of what Esau is going to do, but he knows he's got to go and can talk to Esau and make this right. And so what happens is he's sending ahead a blessing. Okay, so he in this moment, they're all traveling at this time, and he's sending a blessing. And so this is the words, what verse 13. And so he lodged there the same night and took what came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother. So it says that he took what came to his hand. If you look it up, it refers to the fact that he found what he could. So this is what it was for him to just sort of find what he had. Let's look what he's giving. Verse 14, 200 female goats. Wow. 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. There was so much that he was giving in that he told them to split it up into three or four, basically, of these waves. So that if, you know, and literally it was a strategy somewhat that he was fearful that Esau was going to come in and attack him in that moment. So he's like, let's split them all up. But this is how much he had on hand. Think about it. He just go like, well, this is what I could find. It's like us reaching into my pocket. Someone says, you got some change? Well, hang on, let me see what I can find. This is how blessed he is. So when he says, I will not let you go until you bless me, not that there's not some part to this to be financial, but I don't think the root in his heart is about finances. He was already living in blessing. He knew that this was God's blessing on him. And yes, he wanted to continue in this, but there's something very specific that we see, and I'll get to it in a minute. You see, in that Old Testament, the Old Covenant way, hear this, that life without the blessing of God was understood by these ancient people of the Old Testament as terrible. It was barren and arid. It lacked freshness. To live in that land without the blessing of God, let's give it a shot. Because it was so arid and so difficult. But okay, if you've tuned me out, hear this. It's important to note that life could still be a struggle at times when the blessings of the Lord was still with you. But without them, it was unbearable. He knew, he had this concept, this understanding in his heart that I must live in the blessings of God. You see, we see it. Then if you go over, I just want to read it because it's fun and we'll see what time we have with all of this morning. But this is just, I love this. Okay, so verse 23, you've gone up to there. He took them, sent them over to the brook,
and sent them over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man, capital M, wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now, when he saw that he had did not prevail against him, he, capital H, touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And so he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And do you really think he didn't know what his name was? He's just basically defining, because when you said that name, it was an understanding of deceiver. It was an understanding of, it had a lot of negative connotation to it. But he says to him, and he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob." Catch this. You are no longer going to focus on your failure. You are no longer going to see your worthiness through failure eyes. You are now, it says, you will be Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask me about my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip of the socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. Here's the thing I want you to grab from this story. In this moment, Jacob is scared to connect with his brother. He is frustrated. Do you know the story of Laban? You know the story of the fact of how long he had to work for one of his daughters, and then the next daughter, and then the whole trickery and everything that happened. If you don't know it, go look it up. It's a fantastic story. But listen, in those moments, what I want you to grab from it, though, is that he had a right to be irritated. He had a right to be frustrated with life. He had a right in those moments even to look and get frustrated and not know and not be sure that God was really with him in all of those times. Even though he saw the blessing, and even though at those moments, at that moment that this was happening, he was highly blessed, there was an incredible journey along the way to get there. And all his stuff was wrapped up in his name, Jacob. And for me, I look at this and I see, I'm like, Jacob, how did you know this was God? And how did you have the tenacity to think you could go wrestle him? And God, what's going on? Because you're the strongest one of the whole. You know, you're the God of the universe. And he even says he could not prevail against him. And it's kind of easy to understand, because when Jesus came, we understand that he did everything by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That he chose not to use his godly attributes while he was on earth. And he just, everything that he did was by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so for him, again, he is functioning like a man in this moment. And when I, to show the fact of, for Jacob to be tenacious and to not give up. I think that we need to start to do this. And if you want, you grab, if you don't get anything from me today, grab this. It's time for me to stand up again. It's time for me to stand up again. And again, how, you got to hear me clearly. If you're going through grief, if you're going through difficulty, I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about the fact that for all of us, if I can't tell you how many times I've talked to someone in the last maybe couple of years anyways, and the first thing they say to me is, "I'm worn out and I don't care anymore." And you're all, okay, this is what happened. I was just talking and we all went, head down, not making eye contact with Pastor Rod. Because the truth is, over and over and over again, I hear this. I'm too worn out. I'm too beat up. I've stopped caring. Can you see Jacob in this moment? All the stuff that's going on. But he so recognizes that he needs the blessing of God that he is willing to get up and wrestle. and to say, and I'm not talking about the fact of earning your salvation. If you got to grab a hold of this to me today, I'm not talking about the earning your salvation. We are secure in him. Everything is in Christ. And I'm talking about the fact of, I was about to say something and I better be careful. I'll just say the really good version. It's time to get off our duffs. Come on now. I'm serious. Right? It's time to start living a life that when things, and hear my heart, it's kind of difficult to say this in the midst of this environment, what we've all gone through. So I'm not referring to the last exact season where we've had a great disappointment. I'm not talking about that, so hear me. But has anybody else been worn out by the last 5 years? Come on. But here's the deal. I don't want to be 5 years again from now doing. Anybody worn out from the last 10 years? Come, right? Isn't that where we are? And so there's this moment of standing up and saying, okay, it's time again to believe. It's time to move into the new. So here's what I think blessing is. It's not about riches. Rather, it is a humble confession that we are not self-sufficient, that we need God. It is to say that I don't want to live without you. I don't want to live without you in every area of my life. I don't want an area of my life closed off from you. And that's what it means to live in the blessing of God, is to have every single area of our lives open for God to come in. There are many other questions we could ask in the midst of this, but for me, I love his tenacity. I will not let go unless you bless me. And I say then about blessing, the reason I'm talking about that, in that world, they understood the incredible importance of it, of walking in a blessed life and walking as one who's blessed, walking in connection, in deep connection with God. But here's what I believe in that we've got to get through so that we can go into the next through that door that I talked about. We have to be willing to say this, Lord, I surrender to you. I don't understand. I don't get it, but I surrender to you. I ask you to come in, Lord, to every area of my life, that I will know you intimately and closely once again in every area of my life. Our language then begins like this. It begins, Lord, forgive me for giving up. Come on now, close your eyes for a second. And maybe this doesn't apply to you today, and that's okay. But if you want to begin with saying, Lord, forgive me for giving up, and just having a conversation with the Lord right now, begin even just saying, if you've given up in certain areas, if you know that you've just given up, then it begins with saying, Lord, forgive me for giving up. And then it comes down to an invitation, where we say, Holy Spirit, I invite you in. That all of that pain and all of that frustration and all of that disappointment and the way that my mind begins to think even now and all the ungodly beliefs, that we would go on a journey now, Holy Spirit, to begin to remove those things. And that we would begin to have a Romans 12 experience with you, that our minds would be renewed and that our beliefs will become secure. And lastly, it's this. Holy Spirit, I invite you in to bring healing into my life. The areas where I'm worn out, the areas where even I've said lately, I don't even really know that I care anymore. I invite you, Holy Spirit, into that pain. Come on, right now, right where we are. I invite you, Holy Spirit, into that pain. I declare that you are for me and not against me. I declare that you have a wonderful future, a hope. And I declare that it is not my perfection that I enter into a new relationship and a new connection with you. It is from your perfection, Jesus, that I walk into something brand new with you. So, Holy Spirit, I just welcome you just to flow across this congregation right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that as we just do a little experiment right now, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to show me somewhere where my beliefs have gone astray, where my expectation is overrun by regret. Show me, Holy Spirit. So now what I'm going to ask you to do is just to say, I confess this that I have believed, confess this sin that I have believed, and then you fill in the gap of what Holy Spirit showed you. And ask him to forgive you. And so, Holy Spirit, instead of that ungodly belief or that lie or that whatever it was, instead of that, what do you give me in its place? Can I show you something prophetic just for a minute? Would that be all right as I close? I'm going to save the rest because we're going to talk about in 2 weeks from now. I'm going to give you 6 things that bring us together in unity. And they all have the word up at the end of it. One of them is show up. That's a good one, right? And there's a bunch of other ones. There's give up. That does not mean to give up. But it means you'll see how it all is, and it's all there. But I want to show you something that just happened a minute ago. And the Bible often tells us that we would have eyes to see, right? That we could see in the spirit, and we grab a moment. Because for Jacob, I would love to be able to ask him, how did you know? How did you know that was God? How did you know in that moment? You grabbed a hold of the moment. When I asked Holy Spirit, so instead of whatever that was, what do you give us? We had this beautiful sound over here. This little life. That beautiful little cry. And I heard Holy Spirit say, it's time for some rebirthing. It's time for some rebirthing. And that sense in all of us. And what that means is, if you're going like, what in the world is he talking about? What that means is simply this. It's time to start again. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Stand up with me right now. I know we're closing a little earlier than we normally do. But I thought I'd be disciplined and not start another sermon halfway through. It rarely happens to me. I must be something happening. God's doing something. But there is something I want you to do with me, if you're willing, and that is just to put your hands like this to be ready to receive. And if some of you have been hearing so much lately that you're unworthy, and it was said in worship, it was talked about in the middle of the service, we even had an altar call in a sense to come up for that. But in this moment right now, if you've been hearing, it'll never change. What he's talking about will never change. I can't seem to get through this. Let me pray for you. But here's what you got to be willing to do. with nobody else looking around. Come on, can we have a private moment right now with you and God? And just put up your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I'm having a hard time believing this morning. And so, Father, with my eyes closed, I pray that those that are struggling with this, that they feel trapped. So grateful that it was Jacob, the one that messed up so much, that you did this with. And Lord, I am grateful that it's not whether I feel this or whether I, even right now, whether I can believe it. I choose, Lord, to believe you. I offer myself to you right now, Lord, to do a new work in, to bring a new life into me and a new life through me. That today is a birthday. Come on now. June the 23rd, 2024 is a birthday in the spirit. That something new began to happen and I began to transform and change. In your name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.